Tonight I will be preaching from Judges 8, verses 33 through chapter 9, 21. Judges chapter 8, verses 33 through 9, chapter 21. There's some verses I believe, these are some verses that I believe that you probably have not read recently. Unless you've read through the book of Judges, which is a good thing. Hear the word of the Lord. As soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel turned again and whored after the Baals and made Baal-berith their god. And the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side. And they did not show steadfast love to the family of Jerubbaal, that is, Gideon, in return for all the good he had done to Israel. Now Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem to his mother's relatives and said to them and to the whole clan of his mother's family, "Say in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem, which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal rule over you, or that one rule over you? Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh." And his mother's relatives spoke all these words on his behalf in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem. And their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, "He is our brother." And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless fellows who followed him. And he went up to his father's house at Ophrah, and killed his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 men on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And all the leaders of Shechem came together, and all Beth Milo, and they went and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar at Shechem. When it was told to Jotham, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim and cried aloud and said to them, "Listen to me, you leaders of Shechem, that God may listen to you. The trees once went to anoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my abundance by which gods and men are honored and go hold sway over the trees?' And the trees said to the fig tree, 'You come and reign over us.' But the fig tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go hold sway over the trees?' And the trees said to the vine, 'You come and reign over us.' But the vine said to them, 'Shall I leave my wine that cheers God and men and go hold sway over the trees?' Then all the trees said to the bramble, 'You come and reign over us.' And the bramble said to the trees, 'If in good faith you're anointing me king over you, then come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if you acted in good faith and integrity when you made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house and have done to him as his deeds deserve, for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you from the hand of Midian, and you have risen up against my father's house this day and have killed his sons, 70 men on one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his female servant, king over the leaders of Shechem because he is your relative. If you then have acted in good faith and integrity with Jerubbaal and with his house this day then rejoice in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the leaders of Shechem and Beth Milo. And let fire come out from the leaders of Shechem and from Beth Milo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and lived there because of Abimelech, his brother. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we pray your blessing to be upon your word this evening. We pray that you would speak through it to our hearts, Father, and by your Spirit. And may you be honored and glorified through it, Lord. And we pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen. Have you ever noticed these days that there are warnings on just about everything that you see? If you, of course, there's the famous warnings, the ones that are on cigarette packages that it can lead to lung cancer, and that most of us think, yeah, sure. I mean, it's kind of obvious to us, but still, they put those on there with it being very obvious of the effects of cigarettes. There's warnings about alcohol abuse. There's warnings about texting and driving. There's warnings about eating fried foods, many of which we still eat anyway. There's warnings about all kind of things. And yet, to most of us, the warnings don't really matter a whole lot. If we're going to do them, we're going to do the things that we do, and we're going to ignore the warning signs that are out there for us. In a similar way, sin has almost become endangered in our society. The idea of sin. Excuse me, not necessarily sin, but the idea of sin has become endangered, almost under the threat of extinction, because we as a society don't like to think of anything as being sinful, as being offensive to someone else, especially offensive to God. Oh, God is not offended by anything anybody does. We're all good. Right? Wrong. Sin is still sin. Sin is still anything, any want of or conformity that is against God. You have to always go back to the catechism. Anyway, sin is very evil in the sight of a holy God. This evening we'll look at how Israel will experience the consequences of their sin. And what I want us to think about this evening is when we sin, we will always experience its consequences. And when we're faithful, we will always experience those consequences too. Who are the judges anyway? If you look at the life and the times in the book of Judges, I'm wondering in some ways it's a parallel to the way that we live today. In those days, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. It said, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. The book of Judges is all about cycles. It's all about periods of time where the people would love God. They would have not a king. They didn't have a king in those days. Most of the time they had judges, people who would judge matters of problems that they would face. And they would be kind of like leaders, but they were not kings. But they would follow God for a period of time, and then they would go away from God. Fall away and start following after the Baals, the other gods, the gods that were not, well, any God is not the Lord God Almighty. And then God would oppress them. He would send someone, some other country, to come in and to oppress them, to take over them, and to bring them into slavery and all kind of horrendous things. And the people would cry out for God to bring them a deliverer, and God would do that. God would bring them someone else to deliver them out of the hands of their enemies. And it would be a whole nother cycle again of repeating itself, where the people would remain faithful for a number of years, then they would start sliding into this slippery slope until they were back in the same place, and God would send their enemies in, and there again He would send another judge, someone to raise them back up again, to save them. So it's in this point in our passage today that we're looking at the end of one of those judges' life. His name was Gideon, also known as Jerubbaal. And Gideon, the word Gideon, by the way, means like great warrior or mighty warrior. And his other name, Jerubbaal, means the bell finder. Anyway, Gideon, whenever he was a young man, and if you were to go back and read any of this on your own time, it's an interesting story about who this man Gideon was. The Israelites had fallen into a time where the country, or the people of Midian, or the Midianites, had oppressed the Israelites and come over and taken them over. And God had risen up a man by the name of Gideon. If you look in chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor.'" This was Gideon. "And Gideon said to him, 'Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? Why have the Midianites oppressed us? And where are all of his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hands of Midian.'" And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to them, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." And he said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speaks with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you." And he said, "I will stay with you until I return." Long story short is God affirmed to him that he was to be the leader. He was to be the one to come and to lead the Israelites out of the hand of the Midianites. And he did it. He came and he defeated the Midianites. He destroyed the altars of all of the Baals of the oppressors. And God blessed him. God blessed his hand. And he continued to fight many, many battles until he grew old. And the people even wanted to make him a king. In chapter 8, verse 22, the scriptures say, "Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, 'Rule over us, you and your son and your grandson, for you saved us from the hand of Midian.' And Gideon said to them, 'I will not rule over you, and my son will not rule over you. The Lord will rule over you.'" He rejected their offer of kingship. Although he served the Lord, he knew he couldn't take God's place. But still, he didn't follow God completely. If you read on in the verses, he said, and Gideon said to them, "Let me make a request of you, and every one of you give me the earnings from his spoil. because the people that they had gotten spoil from their battles were Ishmaelites, and they answered and said, "We will give them, we will willingly give them." And they spread out a cloak, and every man threw in the earrings of his spoil, and the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold. And so even Gideon kind of was, even though he was used by God, he kind of fell into a slippery slope himself. And so we see things start going down for the Israelites at this point. They start going down again. And the scriptures tell us here in the passage that we read this evening that he had many wives. And he had 70 sons, and even sons by concubines or servants. And so there were problems, you know, in his household. And as soon as he died, it says that the Israelites prostituted themselves by serving the Baals. And so this evening we're going to look at what all that means. What did it mean for them to turn from God to other gods? The first thing I want us to look at this evening is that our unfaithfulness to God can lead us to greater sin. Just a little bit of unfaithfulness can lead to a great big amount of unfaithfulness to the believer. The Israelites were unfaithful to God. The scriptures say they prostituted themselves. As soon as Gideon died, they went back to their old ways. Their old ways of worshiping other gods, thinking, "Oh, it's okay. It's all right now. You do what you do, I'll do what I do. It's okay. You know, we're all free to worship who we want to worship." And they even worshiped a golden ephod. They worshipped this thing that the priests wore. It says, if you look in chapter 8, verse 27, it says, "And Gideon made an ephod of it out of all the gold, and he put it in his city, and Ophrah and all Israel whored after it, and it became a snare to Gideon and to his family." So the people, they loved their money. They loved their gold. It was something to them that was very, very, very important to them, more important than God Himself. And so the people gave up a relationship with God for a relationship with things. They did not remember the Lord their God. They forgot. Do you wonder if we as a nation have forgotten the Lord our God? Have we forgotten what He has done for us? This is what they did. They were unfaithful. It says they prostituted themselves. And the word prostituted sounds so horrible to us. We don't want to even hear that word. To most of us, to hear the word makes us cringe because it has a connotation of just being nasty, horrible. But the person who has forgotten their God has done that very thing. They prostituted themselves to another god. Theirs was a sin of unfaithfulness to a covenant God. And it was an unfaithfulness that would lead them into greater sin. The scriptures tell us the story shifts then to Abimelech. Now, who was Abimelech? Abimelech was the son of one of his concubines or servants. And he probably was a guy after Gideon died who probably thought, "Well, I'm not going to get anything. All that gold that my dad has, and I'm not even a quote unquote true son. He was an illegitimate son. And Gideon's true sons, by his true wives, would have probably been given all of this money. And so he begins to plot evil in his heart. And he begins to devise a plan to kill his brothers. See, that's what happens with greed and with money. The more you worship that which is created, and you worship what is money, it will lead you down a path that will kill you, that will kill others. And so he decided that he would go to his mother's relatives and say, you know, do you want a leader or don't you want a leader? If you want a leader, I'm the man. I'm the one that can be the king for you. I will do what you need to do. I will protect you. All you have to do is one little thing. You need to help me. We're going to kill all of Gideon's sons by his wives. And so the leaders decided that it was okay, and they went along with him. And interesting note here, I find it very interesting anyway, kind of reminiscent. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver, not gold, silver. Does that ring a bell in anybody's ears? The idea of giving silver out to go and to help to get a band of people together to, they hired worthless and reckless fellows to go after Gideon's sons. And they killed them all on one stone. I don't know what that means other than to maybe cut their heads off or whether they stabbed them or how they did it, but they killed them all. All. At least they thought they'd kill them all. Kill them all but one. In their minds, this was one quick way to get rid of and fix all the problems. Then they would be free to be able to do what they wanted to do. They'd have a king that they always wanted. And surely he'd lead them in the right way. Be careful what you want. Because if you get it, you might really get it. And it may not be the thing that you thought it was going to be in the beginning. So evil was in Abimelech's heart. He killed his brothers, all except for the one, Jotham, who escaped. He put his plan into action. Sin is like this. And I explained it one day to Haley, I think it was. I was telling her about it about years ago. Many years ago when I was in college, we went to the BSU. We used to do a skit. We used to do lots of skits. And we did a skit at one time that was called Bucket of Sin. And the way that Bucket of Sin worked was this, is we would bring out a bucket and put it out there, and it would say, Bucket of Sin. And you'd have two people walking side by side, walking along life like they were going through life. And one of them sees the bucket of sin. It would have to be big enough that you could get in it. And he'd say, hey, look at that bucket of sin. That looks pretty good. I think that looks good. He said, I don't know about that bucket of sin. I heard about that bucket of sin. The bucket of sin doesn't look too good to me. And the other one says, well, I think I'm just going to put my foot and just try it just a little bit. Put it in just a little bit. So he puts his foot in. He says, hey, it's not too bad. You ought to try. And so he takes his foot back. He said, I think I'll try the other foot too. So he puts his other foot in it. And he says, hey, this is great. This is awesome. You have missed out completely. He says, but I'm going to get out of it now, and I'll come back to it a little bit later. So he tries to get out of it, and he's in it. It has overtaken him so much he can't get out of from the bucket of sin. And the friend who has Christ brings Christ to him, reminds him of who Christ is and what Christ has done for him, and through Christ's help, he pulls him out of the bucket of sin. Now, there is no such thing as a bucket of sin, but in real life, there is sin that looks enticing, and sometimes we get in it, and sometimes we begin to try things that we know are not right, and we know are not pleasing to God, and before we know it, sin will overtake you as a believer if you don't watch it, and none of us are immune to sin. None are. We have to be reminded that it is Jesus who's died for us. We have to be reminded that we cannot forget the God who has saved us and given us such an awesome salvation through Christ. And we have to remember that our unfaithfulness matters very much to God. You may be doing everything, all the things that a Christian should do on the outside, but God is concerned about where your heart is on the inside. He's concerned about where your heart is in the morning, where your heart is at noon and everywhere in between, where your heart is in the evening. He didn't want you for 5 minutes of the day. He doesn't want you for 35 minutes of the day. He wants you for 24 hours a day. And he is concerned about whether or not we put him aside. And some of the gods that we have in our life, we have so many gods that we have prostituted ourselves as a nation after. Some that, you know, makes me think, maybe makes me rethink who I am as a believer and think to myself, what is important in life as far as God's concerned? Is it the internet? Is it the American dream? Is it stuff? Is it things? Is it a big church? What is it that is our focus? Or is it a heart that loves God? Whether the gods are, whether in our life or whether in society, we have to ask ourselves, are we remembering God? The Israelites didn't. They didn't remember God. If they would have, they would have remembered the sons of Gideon. They wouldn't have forgotten about them. They wouldn't have abandoned them to be killed. The second thing that I want to look at tonight is God's faithfulness demands that our sin will always have its consequences. Because God is a covenant God and God is a faithful God, there is consequences for our sins, whether they're lived out and we face them here or whether we face them when we face God. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I love this. The blessings and the curses. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says, "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all of His commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord." And then verse 15 says, "But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all His commandments and His statutes that I shall command, that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." The blessings and the curses are strictly just a, it's pretty much a rule. I mean, if you follow God, the reason, God's word is not for it has blessings connected to it in following God's word. There are blessings, practical blessings that God gives us every single day, and there are curses. Anytime that you engage in sin, there are curses. There are problems that you are going to face, and it will eat at you. No one can tell me that a person who completely abandons God will not face consequences. If someone has done things to injure you, whether or not they confess that they've done these things to injure you, there are consequences for that person. And that person will have to deal with them before God. If we sin against God, there are consequences that we have to deal with. Maybe in this life again, maybe not. Israel also participated with Abimelech, and they went in with him. Why did they do it? Was it because they wanted a king? They wanted to be like all the other nations had kings. They wanted to say, we have a king too. We have a leader. We have someone just like y'all. They failed to realize they already had a king. We're the same way. The parable of the trees. I don't remember a whole lot of parables in the Old Testament. Here is your parable in the Old Testament. I love this. It says the trees once. It tells you about three trees. About the olive tree, the fig tree, and the vine where the grapes are grown. It tells about all of the trees got together and said they were going to get one of them to be their leader. The only problem was is none of the trees wanted to give up their position. They didn't want to give up their responsibility to deliver the fruit that they had. If they uprooted their roots and moved to become honored and hold sway over all the other trees, they wouldn't be able to do what they were meant to do. And so the trees went to the bramble, the thorns, and the thicket. And the bramble was more than happy to do it for them. This tale was told by Jotham, the son of Gideon. He was trying to show them and to be the mouthpiece of God and letting them know that what they have done in getting are making Abimelech their king in respects would be to their destruction. See, Israel thought they had escaped free. And people think today, it doesn't matter if there are no consequences, we can make laws that say it's okay that you have same-sex marriage. We can make laws that say it's okay to do this or laws to say that it's okay to do that. And it makes it okay. But there is no one that can make a law to change God's mind towards sin. There's no one that can say that abortion is right in the eyes of God. There's no one that can say that same-sex marriage is right in the eyes of God. There's no one that can say that adultery or any other of the millions of sins, there's no one to say that serving the creation is okay in the eyes of God. Because in doing those things, we make those things our king instead of our Savior who came and died for us at the cross. See, Israel thought they had escaped Jonathan tells them in verses 16 through 21, he says, "Now therefore, if you acted in good faith and integrity when you made Abimelech your king, and if you dealt well with Jerubbaal," or Gideon, "in his house and have done to him as his deeds deserve," and he reminds them here, "Now my father fought for you and he risked his life and he delivered you from the hand of Midian, and you have risen up against my father's house this day and you have killed his sons, 70 men on one stone." Boy, is that not an indictment? He speaks the truth. In fact, he is standing on the top of Mount Gerizim. You look on verse 7. He's standing, he is crying all of this aloud to them. He is giving it to them. He says, "If you have acted in good faith and integrity within Jerubbaal and with this house this day, then rejoice in him. If you've done this all with God's blessing, then you just rejoice because God's going to bless you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the leaders of Shechem and Beth Milo, and let that fire come out from the leaders of Shechem and from Beth Milo and devour Abimelech." And after he said that, he ran away and he fled and he went to Beer and he lived there because of Abimelech, his brother. The indictment is this. The society that we live in today is very similar to the one in Judges. It's very similar. We're in the cycles. I can see how things have changed in my lifetime from the time I was a little boy to the time that I am now. In some ways it's changed a great deal. In other ways it's not changed a whole lot at all. People have always had the loves that are other than God. But it just brings back mind to me that verse 16. "Now if you have acted in good faith and integrity when you've made Abimelech king," have we acted in good faith and in integrity when we made Jesus our king? Have we acted in good faith and integrity when we do the things that we do in everyday life? It speaks to me. It causes me to really think about the little and the big things can affect us. Our unfaithfulness to God can lead us into deeper sin than we ever can imagine, and it will have its consequences. What were the consequences for Abimelech? The leaders heard him, heard Jotham, and he started running, and they caught up with him eventually. He ran after some of them and tried to go after, and eventually in chapter 9 verse 53 he was going after a group that had come into a tower, and he thought he had enclosed them all in this tower, and he thought he had them all. In verse 52 it says, Abimelech came to the tower and fought against it and drew near to the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman drew an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. And then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest they say of me, 'A woman has killed me.'" And his young man thrust him through and he died. So his life did not have a good end. He wanted what his father had. He wanted the prestige. He wanted what his father had rejected, the kingship. All that envy and desire culminated into nothing. Are we being faithful to God? The little things matter. The little times when you pray in the morning, the little times when you read the scriptures in the morning, the little times when you do things all matter to God. If we're faithful in a little, He'll hold us faithful in a lot. If we're unfaithful in a little, we will become increasingly unfaithful. This text has much, much, much more than ever I could deliver in this amount of time. If you have time, go back and read about Gideon. Gideon is a very fascinating character. Man who was used by God to lead the Israelites away from the Midianites. And this story is very interesting because it does speak to us today. Question yourself. Have you forgotten God, or are you remembering God in everything you do? This needs to be something that is spoken to all of us, including myself, in everything that we do. Every single thing that we do. So that we will lead lives that are honoring to God, because Christ died for us. And He is the only King that we should have in our life. Let us pray.